75 years ago today, Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon introduced readers to private detective Samuel Spade. It was the first hard-boiled detective novel, gritty, dark, and morally ambiguous. It's a portrayal of a detective written by a former detective. In The Maltese Falcon, Sam Spade searches for a murderer and a priceless statue. Along the way, he falls for a smart dame with a secret and falls in with a couple of colorful crooks. Commentator John Ridley paid a visit to Sam Spade's neighborhood in San Francisco to say happy birthday.
It's the stuff that dreams are made of. It's an odd-looking statue that's ultimately worthless. It's a collection of lies, deceit, and a hero who's the least amoral person in an immoral world. It's Dashiell Hammett's Maltese Falcon. And 75 years ago today, the Falcon, Sam Spade, Miles Archer, Bridget O'Shaughnessy, Joel Cairo, and the Fat Man were cut loose on an unsuspecting populace. Hammett lived in San Francisco from the summer of 1921 to the fall of 1929. And the city wasn't just a backdrop for his PIs and ops to throw out their gats in front of. With meticulous attention to detail, Hammett recreated a city on page that previously some considered too genteel a setting for crime fiction. In fact, his descriptions were so precise, a lot of careful Hammett fans have been rewarded for sleuthing through the pages of The Falcon.
I live here, and I've lived here since 93.
Bill Arney is an architect who lives at 891 Post Street, number 401. That's Dashiell Hammett's old apartment.
It's not just Dashiell Hammett's apartment, it's also Sam Spade's apartment. This is where Hammett lived when he wrote the novel, and it's the apartment he based Spade's apartment on.
The furniture is old Mission style. The fixtures and floorboards and most of the appliances are just plain old. But for Bill Arney, renting an apartment on San Francisco's Port Street turned into the literary equivalent of finding a Picasso at a garage sale.
Yes. It's very rare that a literary landmark has both the author and his most famous character in the same spot. Here we're in what Hammett called the passageway. His correspondence tells us that he lived in 891 Post, but it doesn't give us an apartment number. But there are a lot of architectural details in the novel that point us towards this unit. It's got to have a passageway. It's got to have a bend in the passageway. When he opened his apartment door, Bridget O'Shaughnessy was standing at the bend in the passageway, holding Cairo's pistol straight down at her side.
Hammett's world is most definitely a corrupt world, popped with the most fundamental characters of Roman noir. Evil women, stupid men, and the black eye of a hot gun is always looking to wink somebody into the sweet forever. Don Heron is a Hammett fan, or maybe fanatic. He's been giving a walking tour of Hammett's San Francisco for the past 28 years.
The good thing with The Maltese Falcon, the novel itself, almost all of it, takes place in 10 square blocks downtown San Francisco. You have a scene where the ship, La Paloma, is burning on the dock. That's a little bit out. And then there's a wild goose chase by hired car down to Burlingame. And those are the only two incidents that don't occur right in this area where we're going to be walking. Shall we?
All right, let's get walking. It was, as it turned out, a perfect day for traveling Hammett's San Francisco. Cool, overcast, gray with something more than lack of sun. You could almost see the iniquity blocking out the light. The tactile sense of the grim side of San Francisco only grew stronger as Don broke down for me his take on the significance of Dashiell Hammett's Maltese Falcon.
He's created a mythic San Francisco. It's a city of fog, it's a city of night, it's a city where the detective in the hat and trench coats, you know, forever wandering the streets. It's like your basic noir idea, where it's, you know, always 2 a.m.
Don strolled me to the scene of the most famous murder that never really happened.
Okay, and here we have Britt Alley. And here we have the famous plaque. On approximately this spot, Miles Archer, partner of Sam Spade, was done in by Bridget O'Shaughnessy. It was nighttime. Fog was blanketing the alley. Miss Wonderly, that is Bridget O'Shaughnessy, on some pretext, lured Miles Archer back into the alley. He has his gun, but his gun is securely buttoned away and under his coat. There's no way he could have gotten to it quickly to defend himself if he'd known he was going to need it. And of course, he didn't suspect anything because he was a real sap. At any rate, she lured him back in the alley. She got real close to him. She reached into her pocket like this, pulled out a gun, and
hey.
Pow! Shot Miles Archer.
That's scary, man. I've just been shot. And believe me, nobody's going to put a plaque up to me. That's the part that hurts.
Another and considerably less fatal location on Don's tour is John's Grill.
The Maltese Falcon takes place in 5 days, December 1928. Sam Spade eats three meals a day. And out of all the restaurants where he eats in the novel, John's Grill is the only one that survives cleanly today under the same name in the same location.
Pass under the grill's bright green awning with, of course, the requisite picture of that famous bird, and into the restaurant, and it's like time tripping back a fistful of decades. It's dark wood and rich leather draping booths, hard liquor from the bar that prefers not to mix girl drink drunk drinks. On the menu is Sam Spade's chow of choice, pork chops, tomato, and a baked potato. John's was just about the perfect place to take a sit-down with a guy who could pretty much nail down what makes Hammett and his bird enduring legends. Joe Gores is an Edgar Award-winning writer. The Edgar is mystery fiction's version of the Oscar. Joe's got three of them, and a theory as to why Hammett's writing is sick with authenticity.
Hammett was not a writer learning about detection. He was a detective learning about writing. What makes it enduring is the Hammett detective. He has no sentimentality. He has vulnerability, but he hides it. His basic philosophy is, I've got to do it to you before you do it to me. And this fits the American ethos. This is who we are, or who we used to be anyway.
Okay, so doing unto others before they do unto you might not be the attribute we value most in this country. But it can be fairly said, we've got a thing for heroes who can take what's dished out, give as good as they get, might not be perfect, but are perfectly suited for navigating a harsh world. For his fans, Dashiell Hammett gave us the first real modern American hero in Sam Spade. And for them, for the last 75 years, no one's done better.
The comments of John Ridley, Hollywood writer and author. His latest hard-boiled mystery novel is The Drift. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.